Good morning, everybody. My name's Dan. I'm one of the pastors here at Epicenter Church. If you're new, we just welcome you here, and we're glad to have you here. Today, I'm going to be talking about God's will to heal. Yeah. So we're a church who we feel called to healing. We feel called to a healing revival here. And we've had losses, but we're not going to back down. We're going to stand on the word of God. And so we believe that it's God's will to heal. Regardless if we see it every single time or not, we're still going to press in because that's what his word says. And yeah, I'm going to be honest. This message was really hard for me. There's a lot of things that I'm going to share. And I even asked the Lord, like, could I just preach on identity instead? I love identity. I love intimacy. Like, I don't want to preach on this topic. As much as I believe it, there's still a lot of things that come up when I talk about it in my heart. And so, like, for the past month, I was like, Lord, please, could I do something else? But honestly, after everything that happened in worship and everything that everyone said, it's just like, okay, God planned for this to happen. And so, yeah, I'm just going to go through it. And yeah. That being said, yes, I believe it's God's will to heal. There's things I'm battling with in my body still. I have allergies. I take allergy medicine every day. This past week, I had food poisoning, not by anything that anyone made. It was something I got from Kroger, and so it messed me up. And as you can see, I also wear glasses. I love Pastor Easy's story of when he was in India, and he prayed for he was a blind man, right? And so the guy got his vision healed, and then the Lord said, what about you? And Easy took off his glasses. And so I want to have that same type of faith. About 10 years ago, when I was in Bible college, you know, I heard a faith message, and faith messages are awesome. They can encourage you to do things, but just because they encourage you to do things doesn't mean that that's faith, you know? And so I went, and I'm like, okay, God, my eyes are going to get healed today. I went and I broke my glasses, and then I threw them in the dumpster because I'm like, God, you have to heal my eyes now. The thing with all of this, though, is I was a delivery driver for Domino's. I didn't have contacts. I'm a poor college student, so I had to wait 2 weeks for new glasses before I could go to work again. So as much as I believe in faith, and I'm going to be preaching on faith, and I believe in healing, faith is when the mountain moves. And so, you know, we can get stirred up and emotional, but that's not faith. Faith happens when the mountain moves. But I've done stupid things. We've all done stupid things. And we're all still growing up into Christ. So nothing in this message is to condemn anyone. We're all growing. We're going from faith to faith, glory to glory. We're growing up into Christ. But we also can't deny what the truth says. And so in Ephesians 5:17, it says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we have to know what the will of the Lord is when it comes to certain subjects, when it comes to healing, when it comes to salvation. The Lord wants us to know what his will is for our life as well. And so, you know, we believe in the prophetic here, and so sometimes we'll get prophetic words, and God, I don't know when this timing is, but I believe that this is your will for my life. And so I want to agree with that word, and I want to come into alignment with your will. Because the Lord gave us a free will. We can choose not to follow him. We can choose to do our own path. And you can still be saved and choose to do your own path. It doesn't disqualify you. It doesn't make you lose your salvation or anything like that. But you just chose not God's best, I guess you could say. And so, you know, through scripture, we can see God's will on salvation. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 1 Timothy 2, 3-4, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. So we see through scripture, it's God's will for all men to be saved and to come to repentance. But we also know through experience, not all men come to repentance because he's given us a choice. He's given us our own free will. In the same way, though, we have to know God's will to heal. We have to believe that it's God's will to heal, because if we don't, we're not going to go for it. You know, we'll backtrack and we'll say, maybe it's not his will to heal that person. You know, I don't need to step out. he didn't lead me to go pray for that person. Maybe I don't need to step out. But we have to know that Jesus' life is the will of God revealed. And everyone that Jesus prayed for, he saw healing. There wasn't one person that he didn't pray for that didn't get healed. And so he is the standard. I love the Apostle Paul. I love all the apostles. You know, they saw healings and everything. But even Paul said, you know, Timothy, take wine, you know, for your stomach. So Paul is an example, but he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Jesus is the standard. He's who we're going after. You know, we can look to the apostles, they're awesome, but Jesus is what we want. And, you know, we haven't seen 100% healing, but that's what we're going after. We want to. If he could do it, he said, greater things that I do, you'll do as well. And so we're going after those greater things. And so in Matthew 4:23 through 24, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And in Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And in Luke 5:12 through 13, it said, and it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put his hand out and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. So we see through the word, it's God's will to heal. We don't have to question whether it's God's will to heal. We know it is, and so we go after it. We step out. And, you know, being a Bible college, there's so many things that we're taught. There's so many students had questions, and the number one thing that people would bring up is, well, what about in Nazareth? You know, unbelief in Nazareth, the atmosphere of unbelief. And so in Mark 6, it says, he laid hands on a few sick people and they were healed, but he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. You have to understand that when you're looking in the word, every time that it shows that there is a mighty work, it was because multitudes came. Multitudes came and they were healed. You can see here, Jesus still healed a few sick people. But you really need to look at the full account of the Nazareth story. And Luke 4, it says, this is summarizing. This is the same time that he read out of the passage in Isaiah and said this scripture was fulfilled in him. Instantly, they brought up that he was Joseph's son and started accusing him to the point of kicking him out of the city. So you have to understand, it wasn't an atmosphere of unbelief that stopped the miracles from flowing. It was unbelief that stopped people from bringing their sick to Jesus. If it was an atmosphere of unbelief that stopped the miracles from flowing, you can never go out in public and expect a healing to happen. You go into a Walmart, you're the only person believing. So you have to understand that your faith trumps an atmosphere of unbelief. Now, like I said, do I see everyone I pray for healed? No, but I want to, and I'm not going to back down. There's people that I've prayed for who I haven't seen healed. Me and my wife, every single night, we put them on a list and we continue to pray for them. We continue to press in. We continue to go after it. We continue to go after the finished work. And so faith does play a part when it comes to believers praying for the sick. In Mark 11, 22 through 24, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And in James 5:14 through 15, it says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So we see here through scripture, it's faith that moves a mountain. It's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. When I'm praying for the sick, a lot of the times I keep my prayer short. I keep it simple. You know, a lot of people can get extravagant in their prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like a lot of times we'll get very heady. We'll think that the things that we're saying is what's healing the sick. But no, it's faith that heals the sick. Otherwise, In the scripture, it says you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You don't even have to pray, but it's the faith. If you have faith for that and you can do that, the mountain will move. And so you have to understand it's faith that moves the mountain. It's faith that heals the sick. And we're growing in faith. The ways to grow in faith is getting into the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God brings faith. Speaking in tongues brings faith. Prayer and fasting brings faith, and it gets rid of unbelief. We're going to touch on that in a second. But for me, the number one thing that I found to bring faith when it came to healing was just stepping out. Stepping out and stepping out and stepping out. You know, a lot of people, the word does say, like, desire spiritual gifts. But I'm going to be honest, I started moving in words of knowledge without even asking for them. It was because I stepped out and the Lord trusted me with more. I wasn't even being led majority of the time when I was praying for people. But because of that, he's like, okay, I've seen what you've done with this. I'm going to give you more. And so I would get words of knowledge just everywhere I went. And my faith would continue to grow. And a lot of the thing is with healing, it's our perspective. Our perspective can get off. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And I love what you said this morning, because that's exactly it. We need the eyes of our heart open. And so we have to understand God is moved by faith, not by need. If it was by need, everyone would be healed instantly. But it's faith that moves the mountain. It's not need. But we also have to understand that faith works through love. And so we do see Jesus move with compassion and healing people. And it's that same compassion, it's that same love that tugs on our hearts that says, go pray for that person. Go step out. Go love on that person. Regardless of if they get healed or not, it's that same compassion that urges us to go and love on people. And if, you know, we can't, like in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about you can move in faith, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. So we don't want to move in faith without love. And so we have to have love as our foundation. And so unbelief can get in the way as well. You know, we talk about faith, but we also have to talk about unbelief. And it's something that I don't like this scripture, but that's what the word says, you know? And so just because we don't like something doesn't mean we can ignore it. In Matthew 17, 14 through 21, it says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." And so we see here that it was still God's will for that person to be delivered, to be healed, to be set free. The disciples tried, but it didn't happen. But it was still God's will because Jesus did it. And so the word continues to go on, and it says that the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have a faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And so, you know, it's what the word says. We don't beat ourselves up when we don't see the healing come. We don't condemn ourselves, but we understand that there's something that we're not seeing. There's a perspective that we're missing. We're missing Jesus's perspective. You know, I'll step out and I'll maybe pray for a knee or a shoulder, but do I have faith that the blind person's going to be healed? You know, we have these layers of, oh, what's the greater miracle? What is that? And so, but for Jesus, everything was the same. Everything's on the same level. A headache is the same as blind eyes. And so we have to understand, we need Jesus's perspective. And I'm growing in this. We're all growing in this. No one here has made it. We're seeking him. But I feel like one of the keys is in verse 21. It says, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And so some people have taught it's about the spirit, but I really believe that it's the unbelief. When you're praying and fasting, you're getting your eyes off of yourself. You're getting your eyes off of the situation. And you're getting alone with the Lord and you're saying, God, I have to put my eyes on you. I need your perspective. I have to see what you're seeing because there's something that I'm not seeing. If I was seeing what you were seeing, this thing would have left that person. But I'm not seeing what you're seeing, and I need to see what you're seeing. And I need to grow. And I realize there's something I'm not seeing. I think that's the best thing to do is to realize, Lord, there's something I'm not seeing. I'm not going to beat myself up, but I want to go after what you have for me. I want to go after every promise, everything that you have, that you've called me to. I want to go after it. And so fasting, prayer and fasting, intimacy, getting into the word, exchanging your perspective for his, that's just so key. It's so important. Intimacy with the Lord is so important. You know, we're called to a healing revival. We're called to move in faith, but we have to have that one-on-one time with him. We have to really get serious and start stepping out and going after the things that God has called us to. We've all been called to pray for the sick. It's not just some of us. It's not just people on staff. It's not just young adults. I'm just naming names. It's, you know, but all of us are all called to it because we're believers. And so we want to see healing come in Sugar Land. And we believe that God is going to use this church in that way. But we have to step out. But also not be afraid of what the word says. Because honestly, like, this is the number one thing I didn't want to bring up today. Because I've gone through so many things over the past 10 years. I've had a lot of losses. But I understand what the word says. But I'm going after Jesus. I'm going after faith. I'm going after miracles. And so I want to tell a testimony that it actually reminds me of the passage a little bit of what I just read. And so when I was in Dallas, we had an outreach. It was called Hell House. It was around Halloween. And so I don't know if I really agree with everything that happened, but it was part of the church we went to. And so instead of a haunted house, it's like a house thing that you go through, and it's like the rooms of hell. And then at the end, they preach the gospel. They have like Jesus hanging on a cross, and there's like a team of people preaching the gospel. And yeah, it was a lot of people got saved, you know. I'm not the biggest fan of people getting saved by fear, but I mean, if they're in the kingdom, awesome, you know. But so, you know, it was me and my wife and a bunch of other people in there, and one of my friends was in there praying as well. And there was this one kid who came after he heard the gospel. He came into the prayer room, and so my friend was praying for him. And, you know, I think he was praying for healing because he was on crutches, and you could tell that there was something wrong with his knee. He was limping pretty badly, and my friend prayed, and nothing happened. And so, you know, I looked over. I got done praying for someone. I saw him, you know, just going slowly out of the room, and I don't know if I was allowed to or not, but I don't care. I just felt like I need to go pray for him. So I just went up and I just chased after him. Because in my heart of hearts, because I know it's the will of God to heal, I'm going to go after it. Even though he just prayed and didn't see anything, I'm still going to step out. I'm still going to go. And so I went, I chased him down. I said, hey, I know someone prayed for you already. Would it be okay if I prayed for you again? And he said, sure. I said, okay, well, what's wrong? And he said, I tore my ACL. And then at the time, I didn't even know what ACL was, honestly. Like, I don't know anything about all that stuff. All I knew was it was in his knee area. And so I was like, okay, well, yeah, I'll pray for you. So I get down and I command this ACL to be healed, whatever that is. I command this knee to be healed. I command full mobility, full restoration. And you have to understand, by this time I've prayed for probably 300 to 400 people before. And so I've felt different manifestations. I've seen different things happen already. And I've felt heat before. But this time I just felt like a heat like I've never felt before. It was incredibly hot. And then all of a sudden, I just felt like a moving inside the knee. I felt pops before. That's nothing new. But this was different. This was like something was being sewn up. And so I looked up and I was like, hey, are you moving your knees? Like, no, but I feel it. And so we were both freaking out while I'm praying, while I'm laying hands. And then, you know, I stop and like, okay, well, check it out. And so he moves it completely pain-free, doesn't need his crutches, didn't have a limp. It was as if nothing had ever happened. And so the point of that is, if I don't believe that's the will of God to heal, then I'm going to believe that just because that one person prayed and he didn't get healed, that was God's will. But no, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to go after it. And so we have to go after it. Even here, if you see someone praying for someone and then it doesn't look like anything got better, go after it. Step out, because you don't know. Like, God wants to use you. God wants to use every single person in this room. Even if you've never prayed for the sick and seen a healing, he still wants to use you. And we're going to, in the following month or so, we're going to have some training nights. We're going to have some outreach stuff. And so maybe you're not confident in stepping out and praying for the sick. We're going to get you confident. You know, we're going to pair people up with people who are confident in it. Because for me, like, I went years without seeing anything. And then I came across a guy and he taught me how to pray for the sick and see healing. And that boosted my faith because I was under someone. I was discipled and mentored by someone who had walked in that. And so, you know, if you've never prayed for the sick, I'm not expecting a healing to happen or anything like that until you've received training, you know. And not that you can't, you can. That's not what I'm saying. But it's just, it's good to be around people who will teach you and help you and guide you and stuff like that. And so, back in 2016, my wife and I, we took a missions trip in Japan. And it was amazing. Like, before we went, everyone was telling us, you know, it's going to be so hard for you guys. It's 1% Christian, everyone else is Shintoism and Buddhism. And so, you know, you guys are just going to have a really hard time. But for me, it's like none of that bothered me. I was just excited because I'm like, well, God's going to move, because if he's moved here, he's going to move in Japan. And so I'm just going to go after it. Even if they don't speak English, it doesn't matter to me. Like, we're going to make this thing work, you know? And so while we were in Japan, I was walking down the street, and I saw this one guy. He was just sitting down, drinking coffee or something. And I just heard the Lord say, he has a hurt back. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go up to him. And it's crazy. This guy spoke perfect English. It turned out he actually lived in New York for a little bit, and then he was just visiting his parents, I believe, in Japan. And so I was like, hey, I know this is really random. Do you speak English? And yeah, he did. And so I was like, do you have back pain? He's like, yeah, I do. And so I went and I prayed for him, and he got completely healed on the spot. And so, you know, we preached the gospel to them. And so in Japan, you know, in different areas, the way that you preach the gospel can be different. In Japan, we really emphasized, when you come to know Jesus, you enter in relationship with the Father. Because in Japan, it's a fatherless nation. Everyone there, their fathers are working constantly, and then when they're done at work, they go to the bar, and then they come home, rinse, repeat. And so they're not really being fathered. And so they're desperate for a relationship with the Father. And so, you know, we present the gospel, we present Jesus, but we really present, you can come into a relationship with the Father. And so he didn't give his life to Jesus, but I added him on Facebook, and whenever I see him post, I still pray for him from time to time and just believe that God's going to work through him. And it's crazy, as he said, his family had a Bible, which most Japanese people don't have Bibles, so I'm hoping they're believers. I don't know. And then there's another testimony of a guy who, he had a hurt knee, and so one of my friends went and grabbed me. And so we went and we prayed for him. And while we were praying for him, the Lord just gave me a word for him. And well, it was a vision in my mind. And so I just saw him. He was on the top of a mountain, and he was saying, today's going to be a brand new day. And so, you know, we pray for him. He gets healed. His knee gets healed. And I tell him what I saw. And he's like, that's so crazy. When I woke up this morning, I pictured myself on a mountain. And I said, today's going to be a brand new day. And so it was just God knowing the secrets of his heart, and revealing it to me so that way he could have an encounter with the living God. And so he gave his life on the spot to Jesus. We hooked him up with a local church, and it was amazing. At our time in Japan, we saw probably 20 to 30 people healed. And it was just people left and right giving their lives to Jesus. Like that 1% of Christian thing, like that didn't bother us. We went after it. We even saw a deliverance. It was amazing. But the thing is, during this whole time, right before we went to Japan, my dad was in the hospital. And so, you know, my whole life, my dad, he struggled with alcoholism. He was a very hard worker, very loving. He wasn't a mean drunk or anything like that. He was a happy guy. But it was just something that he struggled with his whole life. And eventually it caught up to him, and he had cirrhosis of the liver. And so he had quit drinking, and they had him on a liver transplant list. And so, you know, we were excited, but one night they released him from the hospital, and when he was at home, he had a seizure, and so they rushed him back. And this was probably 2 to 3 days right before our trip to Japan. And so, you know, we're seeing all these miracles. I'm excited because God's moving in Japan. When I get home, I'm going to see my dad healed. You know, we prayed for him before we left, and we were just believing and praying, and we had the pastors in Japan praying, and so all of us are just going for it, you know, just believing that when I get back, I'm going to be able to pray for him again. My faith has risen, and I'm going to see this healing happen. And so we fly back from Japan to Dallas, and then my dad is in the hospital in, here in Sugar Land. And so about an hour into our drive, we get a phone call that my dad passed away. And so you have to understand, I was devastated because, God, I just saw all these amazing things happen. You're about to heal my dad. At the same time, that doesn't change the truth. And even, I believe that was still God's will to heal my dad. I didn't get the chance to see that happen. But even the week of the funeral, I prayed for someone and they got healed. I continue to press on. I continue to believe because I know what the word says. I know what the truth says, and I'm not going to back down from that. Regardless of any loss I've ever gone through, and I've gone through a lot of losses. I haven't seen a lot of people healed, and I've seen some people pass away, and I hate it. But we're going to continue to press in, and we're going to see people healed. That I'm going to see someone who has cirrhosis of the liver get healed. So that way someone else's dad doesn't have to pass away. We're going to see it happen, and we're not backing down. But the thing is, even though I believed all of those things, and I still believe all of those things, you know, you go through the grieving process. You have a lot of what-ifs in your mind. You know, what if I didn't go to Japan? What if I stayed home and continued to press in? Would he have got healed? But then, on the other hand, if I don't go to Japan, 20 to 30 people don't get healed and they don't get saved. And so these things start to mess with your head. And it's okay to question things. It's okay. It's normal to go there. But I was constantly going there for years. And so you don't want to get stuck in that place when you're dealing with loss, especially when you know miracles are supposed to happen and they can happen. And when you don't see it, you have to continue to press in, but you also need to be vulnerable with God. And that was the thing is I wasn't vulnerable with God. I didn't tell the Lord how I really felt about everything. And so for the next probably 5 to 7 years, I started to isolate myself. I started believing a lie and a stronghold that, you know, I have a social battery. You know, I'm not the most extroverted person, like, but I'm also, before all of this happened, I could be around people and I would be fine. I wouldn't be drained. But over the next 5 to 7 years, I started believing a lie that, oh, I have a social battery. I'm drained every Sunday. Like Sundays I would try to go out, but sometimes I would just go home just because I just felt drained, you know, and I shouldn't feel drained. And, you know, a lot of times we'll hear the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight. And it's true. But then sometimes it can also be taught, we walk by faith and not by emotions, which is also true. But then you can take it to the next step, which isn't biblical, is we walk by faith and we suppress our emotions. And so I was suppressing my emotions. I was suppressing how I really felt. I knew that it was God's will to heal. I'm not blaming God. But in my heart of hearts, I was disappointed. But I wouldn't let that out. I wouldn't be vulnerable with the Lord. And so this was probably 2022 or 2023. And it's not like I was focusing on this all the time or anything, but it's still little things that creep in. And I just went to the Lord and I was like, God, like, I shouldn't be drained all the time. I shouldn't feel this way. You didn't make me this way. I didn't used to be this way. What happened? And he brought me back to everything that happened with my dad. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, Dan, I want you to tell me how you really feel. I can handle it. And so I did. You know, I said, Lord, I'm disappointed. All these people got healed, but I feel like I was robbed. I was robbed from the opportunity to go and pray for my dad. We got back, and an hour in, he passes away like, God, what the heck? What is this? You know, and I'm not blaming God at all. Like, that's not my heart. I didn't blame God once. But I'm being vulnerable. I'm being honest. Like, this is how I'm feeling, God. And through all of that, through that vulnerability, through that honesty of just, and I'm bawling, crying on the floor all by myself in my room. And the Lord is just meeting me there and he's healing those wounds in my heart. And I can just say that that day marked me. That day changed my perspective. Because I'm going to be honest, before then, I wasn't the biggest proponent of inner healing. Like Pastor Lena knows that. You know, for me, I was always just like, just get over your problems, you know? Like, if I'm being honest, that's just me. But I understand, like, no, we can't suppress our emotions. We have to be vulnerable with the Lord. We give those things. We surrender our emotions to the Lord. And, you know, we don't allow our emotions to run our lives. You know, we're going to feel things. Like, the Lord gave us emotions. We're going to feel things. But when there's an unhealthy emotion that continues to come up over years and years and years and years, it becomes a stronghold, and it's going to hold us back from what God has really called us to. And so we have to lay it down. We have to surrender it to him. We have to exchange it with him and allow him to heal our hearts. And so that's what I believe that God is wanting to do this morning. He's wanting to heal physically. We're going to have people up here to pray if you need physical healing in your body. But I also believe that God is wanting to heal hearts this morning. It doesn't have to be anything with loss. It could be with loss. It could be with anything. But if you've never been vulnerable with the Lord, I'm just going to ask you to be vulnerable with him this morning. Allow him to heal your heart. Allow him to go to those places that you don't want to go to. To the places that you've never shared with anyone else. And allow him to start his work. I'm not saying that you're going to be instantly healed emotionally right then and there, but it's a starting place. And it's a healing process. And so, Christine, if you could just play the music, and if the people I texted yesterday for the healing team could come up. Father, I just thank you that you're here, Lord. Lord, I thank you just for what you're wanting to do this morning. I thank you, Lord, we're going to see physical healings. I thank you we're going to see revival. We're going to see a healing revival come to Fort Bend County. We're going to see healings like we've never seen ever in 2026. But Lord, I thank you that you're wanting to heal our hearts. So that way when we're going out, we're not bleeding on other people. And so, Lord, we open ourselves up to you, Lord. Whatever you want to do in us, we just ask that you would come, that you would speak to each of us individually, Lord. That you'd bring healing to our hearts, Lord. That you would bring comfort, Holy Spirit. You're the comforter. I thank you, Lord, that you're here. I thank you for your love and for your peace. And now, if you're needing physical healing in your body, I just ask that you'd come up.